as we study the subject of the church and praying for churches of like faith, we need to be mindful that the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14, verses 14 down to verse number 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. I'd like to preach a message this morning on the importance of Bible doctrine. The importance of Bible doctrine. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun or avoid profane or perverted and vain, empty babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred or gone astray, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are our rock, the rock of ages, Lord Jesus, and we rest upon thee this morning, knowing that you are God, you are in control, your will prevail. And even though we are in a spiritual warfare, your hand of protection and power prevails over your people. So Lord, strengthen us this morning in and through the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The word pillar is in reference to support. Ground is in reference to foundation. Within the true church of Jesus Christ, you will find biblical truth. Truth is supported, and truth is at its foundation. That is the true church of Jesus Christ. You'll find biblical truth. Biblical doctrine, its content, the teaching of truth, should be the basis of faith and practice. We believe in sole scripture. The Bible is our foundation. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. Bible doctrine is important because Bible doctrine focuses upon God, upon his teachings within the scriptures. The first mention of the word doctrine is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if I would encourage you at a later time to read verses 1 to 5 in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you'll find that Bible doctrine elevates who God is. True Bible doctrine teaches us about God and his workings. True Bible doctrine emphasizes the justice of God, and God is just. And also we find within that passage of scripture that true Bible doctrine gives us an absolute standard by which we are to live out our lives. Bible doctrine, the importance of Bible doctrine. I'd like for us to note first and foremost this morning concerning the importance of Bible doctrine. Lesson number one, we are commanded to know our Bible doctrine. We are commanded to know our Bible doctrine. Otherwise, we might be led astray with error. The passage of scripture that we've just read encourages us to guard against those that would speak words of no profit. Those that are out to subvert or to deceive hearers. And the best defense is a good offense, and that is you and I being students of the Bible, knowing our Bible doctrine. And therefore, verse 15 rightfully reads, study. Study is not a dirty word. Study. It concerns me. We live in a day that people do not know the meaning of study. We've replaced study with Google it. Copy and paste. That's nonsense. That is not study. That's just Googling, copying and pasting. We have a brainless society today that has become lazy and doesn't understand the principle of study, where a person takes the time to dig deep as a workman and rightfully divides the word of truth. And by diligently reading and reading, seeking to comprehend and take that comprehension and put that into one's own words and understanding, that is the product of study. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be protected against profane and vain babblings that leads to more ungodliness. And do we not live in a day of much ungodliness? Is not ungodliness on the increase? Well, we as God's people need to be people of the Word of God, and the Bible commands us to know our Bible doctrine. Study to show thyself approved unto God. An approved child of God is one that is diligent with the Scriptures and can rightly divide the Scriptures, rightly interpret the Scriptures. That will only take place if you and I are prepared to study. It will take diligent work to correctly understand what the Bible teaches. I've been a Christian now for over 30 years. I'm still studying the Bible. I've read the Bible no less than 50 times by the grace of God. I'm still studying the Bible. In fact, the more you read, the more you think you know, the more you realize you do not know. And brethren, we need to be diligent students of the Bible, lest we be led astray. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 18 that some individuals are out there, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, that are out to deceive and to destroy and distort and undermine the faith of some. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to be people of the book, people that are willing to study the Bible and learn what it teaches and apply the Word of God to our lives. We're commanded to know Bible doctrine. Where do I begin, Pastor? Read your Bible every day. Very simple. Not complicated. Just read your Bible every day. The greatest decision I made once I came back to the Lord was to devote every morning and every evening to the reading of Scripture. Read your Bible every day. And you'll be reading Bible doctrine. Be faithful to the church of God. We do have a service every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We do have life stage classes. We do have a midweek prayer time, a little Bible study time. Open your life up. Expose yourself to as much teaching of the Bible. Now let me also encourage you to read good literature that teaches good Bible doctrine. We have much good literature available for you. Don't bother with going down to Coorong to find good literature. We've pulled out the good stuff and it's here. Alright? It's here. Let me encourage you to read good literature. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, please. The Apostle Paul said to this young pastor, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The Apostle Paul exhorted this young pastor to just continue in the truth. And brethren, if we are to continue to uphold truth, Bible doctrine, then we need to know what the Bible teaches. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible reads, give attendance to reading. There are two applications here, the reading of Scripture, the public reading of Scripture, and also the personal reading of Scripture. Give attendance, don't belittle the reading of Scripture. Give attendance to exhortation, that's in reference to encouragement. We all need encouragement, so we need to be encouraging one another, and so much the more. But also the Bible teaches us we are to give attention to, give attendance to doctrine. Don't belittle doctrine. Please don't underestimate the importance of Bible doctrine. One of the marks of apostasy and lukewarmness and ungodliness in our day is the minimizing of the importance of Bible doctrine. Don't all churches basically believe the same? No, they do not. That is a lie of the devil. If you know what you believe as a Bible-believing Christian, you will work that out very easily. We're commanded to know our Bible doctrine. That begins with personal devotions. That begins with faithfulness to the house of God, where by the grace of God the Bible is being taught. And it will also be enhanced by you and I reading good literature. The importance of Bible doctrine. We're commanded to know our Bible doctrine. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? You ought to. It's the Mormon Church who boasts that the majority of their converts come from Baptist churches. They boast that fact. That's in America, that is, not in Australia. They boast that fact. Most of their converts come from Baptist churches. Why is that? Because there are Baptist people that don't know the Bible. Lesson number two concerning the importance of Bible doctrine is Bible doctrine must be taught. Bible doctrine must be taught within the ministries of the local church. This is why we teach Bible doctrine. This is why we have Sunday school classes. This is why we have life stage classes. This is why we have youth ministry. This is why we have church every morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. It is the church's mandate to propagate Bible doctrine. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, our memory verse, the Bible teaches us the church. The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Bible doctrine must be taught within the ministry of the local church. Why? Let me give you a couple of reasons why. Because it will take care of those that are propagating error and those that have ill motives. Look at Titus, please, chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 9. So lesson number one concerning the importance of Bible doctrine, we are commanded to know our Bible doctrine. We are to all be students of the Word of God. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, that's your responsibility. No, it's your responsibility as well. Of course it's my responsibility. I'm to encourage that as a pastor, as a shepherd, but each one of you need to have the ability and the workability to defend your faith as to why you believe there is only one God. Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God? Why do you believe that God created in 6 literal days? Why do you believe in justification by faith? Why do you believe that salvation is eternal? Why do you believe in a personal devil? Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? Why do you use the King James Bible? Why do you believe in godly music? Why? Why do you believe in hell? Why do you believe in heaven? Can you answer these questions, brethren? I hope yes, Pastor, is your answer. If it's not, let's do something about it. Amen? Let's do something about it by the grace of God. The Bible doctrine is to be taught within the ministry of the word. Titus chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible reads, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, pure doctrine, unadulterated doctrine, both to exhort, encourage, and convince, overturn the gainsayers, those that have ill motives, propagating error. Bible doctrine is practical. Go to chapter 2 of the book of Titus, please. Note then verse number 1. Bible doctrine. The word doctrine doesn't need to scare anybody. It just means teachings. It's in reference to the teachings of the Bible and the proclamation or the declaring of Bible doctrine. Note then chapter 2 verse 1. The Bible reads, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And here in chapter 2, the Bible makes reference to the fact that Bible doctrine is practical. It is practical teaching. Note then verses 2 down to verse number 8. The Bible teaches us how we should conduct ourselves. God addresses the mature men. Mature men this morning, this is how you are to conduct yourself. Be sober, be grave. Be temperate, self-controlled, sound in faith, full of love, full of patience. The aged women, mature women this morning, you are to do likewise. You are to be holy, not false accusers, not given to much wine, not a wine bibber. Teachers of good things. Who are the mature women to teach? Note then verse number 4. They are to teach the young women. What are they to teach the young women? To be sober. You mature ladies, you have an awesome responsibility to teach the younger women to be sober-minded, to have one's mind in control. You need to teach the young women how to love their husbands. You need to teach the young women how to love their children. You need to teach the young women how to be discreet, modest, chaste, pure, how to keep your home. This is where Miss Gillard got out of place. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Well, I've said it. She's out of place. No woman ought to be running this country. Every country that's had a woman prime minister has invited the judgment of God. It is not biblical. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That's good advice for Miss Gillard. To love their children. Keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Then it goes on and refers to young men. Young men are to be sober-minded. In all things, showing myself a pattern of good works. So on and on, the Bible teaches us some practical principles concerning Bible doctrine. Addresses the mature men, the mature ladies, the young men, the young ladies. Then we have some good work ethics principles there in verses 9 and 10. Then from verses 11 to 15, we have some wonderful encouragement there concerning the importance of living godly, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and living righteously and godly in this present world. Bible doctrine is practical, brethren. Note then 2 Timothy, please. Let's go there. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. In verse number 10, note, please, Bible doctrine is practical, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Let's read on. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And on it reads. See, Bible doctrine, brethren, is practical. It affects a person's life. And the reason why the local New Testament church needs to be a point of which Bible doctrine is propagated and taught is because we as God's people need to know how to live according to the standards of the Word of God. And if you can't find Bible truth, God's truth in the church, where will you find it? This is where it needs to be elevated and propagated within the context of the local New Testament church. Brethren, we are commanded to know our Bible doctrine. Secondly, Bible doctrine must be taught within the ministries of the local church. And if you have a ministry within this church, let me encourage you. It's your awesome responsibility to teach Bible doctrine. Now, that doesn't necessarily just mean that you teach on the deity of Christ alone. That is to be taught. But also, whatever you teach needs to come from the Bible. It's as simple as that. Bible doctrine is received through our devotions to the ministry of the church by reading good material. In fact, we here at Metropolitan Baptist Church have a discipleship program. It's called the A to Z, mentoring, studies. Covers every major doctrine. Every major doctrine. I'd like to encourage you this morning, if you haven't been discipled through the A to Z studies, I'd like to encourage you to come and see me. I believe it's important that you understand what you believe. See, our worldview needs to come from the Word of God, ought it not? We as God's people need to have a biblical perspective on life, the home, government, education. Now, where are we going to get that? The Word of God. So you and I need to be students of the Word. Let's not take the Word of God for granted. And brethren, each time these doors are open here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, let me encourage you to come expecting to be fed, expecting to be encouraged concerning the Word of God and the importance of Bible doctrine. Because Bible doctrine is essential for well-being. Bible doctrine matures the church. Note there in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Bible doctrine brings about maturity. Note there in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, for the perfecting of the saints, pardon me, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Note verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When spiritual maturity takes place in the life of the believer through the teaching ministry of the Word of God via Bible doctrine, that individual is changed into the image of Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate standard of what maturity is. It's Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible makes reference to being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Bible doctrine is to be taught within the ministry of the local church. And brethren, we need to see the importance of that. For those of us that are teachers, and for those that are not teachers, let me exhort you to be faithful to the services within the local church. That's where you'll get your Bible doctrine. That's God's ideal. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible teaches us in verse 16, all Scripture, Old and New Testament, is given by inspiration of God, is the very Word of God. And it's profitable. It will produce the following doctrine. It will teach us what we should believe. It will provide reproof, and do we not need reproof, brethren? It will provide correction. It will teach us how to get things right. And also the Bible will teach us how to live, for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness exalteth the nation. When the Word of God is neglected, then God's people are not being built up with the Word of God, and therefore the produce is unrighteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped unto all good works. The Word of God, Bible doctrine, will strengthen your faith and equip you for effective Christian service. As you read your Bible every day, yes, every day, every day, every morning, every evening. Some of you brush your teeth every morning, every evening. I want to shame you don't read your Bible every morning, every evening. Now I know I want to brush my teeth every morning, every evening. I do brush my teeth every morning and sometimes in the evening, but I can at least say I read my Bible every morning and I read my Bible every evening. I'd rather be on that side of the fence. Bible doctrine. Do you know what you believe, brethren? Why are we not a charismatic church? Why are we not a charismatic? We are not a charismatic church. We're a Bible-believing Baptist church. There is a difference. Yes, there is. Why do we believe in baptism by immersion alone? Why do we believe in the Lord's Supper not being a sacrament? Why do we believe in pastors and deacons? Why do we believe in missions? Why do we believe in personal holiness? Why do we believe in standards and convictions? Why do we believe that God created in 6 literal days? Adam and Eve became the door of entrance for sin into the world. Why do we believe in a universal flood? Why do we believe in the Tower of Babel? Why do we believe that God has a plan for the nation of Israel? Brethren, the answer is found in the Bible. You and I need to be students of the Bible. And it begins with you reading your Bible every day. The pulpit ministry can never match that. You're only here 3 times a week. Fair income. Can't match you and I spending time daily reading God's love letter, reading how God loves you and I. We're commanded to know Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is to be taught within the ministry of the local church. And thirdly, this morning, discern wrong doctrine. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have to discern wrong doctrine. Now, when you know truth, error will stand out. You can waste a whole lot of time working out what error is. But if you and I would be more diligent to know what truth is, then error will just stand out. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. No taking heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Then God tells us two of the predominant teachings that are referred to as doctrines of devils. Note then verse number 3, forbidding to marry. The Bible teaches us that's a doctrine of devils. And you know the main church that forbids a priest to be married. That system is full of demons. That's what the Bible teaches. Forbidding to marry. I understand that for some it's not God's will to be married. And for others, well, it's their fault as to why they're not married. Got nobody else to blame but yourself. But you don't understand, it's not the will of God for everybody, but it is the will of God for most. And God tells us, be on guard against doctrines of devils that would propagate this forbidding to marry. And also note in verse number 3, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Anybody that tells you what meat you're not allowed to eat, that is a doctrine of the devil. I'm not into being a vegetarian. That's not Bible. Let's make that plain and simple. How dare you tell me what I can eat, what I can't eat? My Bible tells me all meat is good. It's to be received with thanksgiving. And anybody that is wholeheartedly a vegetarian, that's the doctrine of the devil. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's be upfront about that. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? It doesn't mean you don't have your preferences. I have my preferences, what I like and what I don't like. But don't tell me what meat I can't eat, because that's the doctrine of devils. You find that in Buddhism, you find that in Hinduism, you find that in all of the Eastern cults today. The greedies are into that sort of junk. Doctrines of devils. The fruit of wrong doctrine is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 4 reads, he is proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions, strife of words, envy, strife, railings. All this is the fruit of wrong teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brethren, we need to discern wrong doctrine by knowing the truth of the Word of God. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. In Jesus Christ, I am free to live within the boundaries of God's holy word. And last but not least, this morning, we are called upon to battle for truth. Lesson number 1, the Bible commands us to know our Bible doctrine. Lesson number 2, we must understand that Bible doctrine is to be taught within the ministry of the local church. So we need to be found faithful within the church. Lesson number 3, we need to discern wrong doctrine. Be discerning concerning wrong doctrine. And lesson number 4, we need to be prepared to battle for truth. The book of Jude, please. Verse number 3. Are we still friends? This is a Bible-believing church. We are called a Baptist church because that identifies us with Bible doctrine. We have no forefather. John the Baptist did not start the Baptist church. Jesus Christ did. You won't find any other founder for the Baptist church, because our name identifies us to Bible doctrine. Our forefathers were prepared to die for Bible doctrine. And here in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter. In verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." That word common means salvation that's available to all. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. The word contend there is a very strong word. It has the idea of wrestling. Wrestle to the point of exhaustion. What for? For the faith, which is once delivered unto the saints. Brethren, we need to be prepared to battle for truth. Battle for truth. That involves, number one, naming those that propagate error. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, the Bible reads that we are to mark those that teach contrary. The Apostle Paul gave names, and we are to give names of those that propagate error. In 2 John verses 9 and 10, the Bible teaches us we are not to entertain those that propagate error. In fact, in verse number 10 it reads, "If any come unto you and bring you not this doctrine," what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ, verse 9. "Receive him not into your house." I don't believe it's the will of God for you to invite a JW into your home. Nor a Mormon, nor anybody that comes to your door wanting to propagate their false teaching. Do I still talk to them, Pastor? Yes, you do, on the front door. Amen. You don't give your blessing. You just tell them that's error. That's not true. And just tell them in 2 John verse 10, the Bible teaches me that I'm not to give my blessing to you. Name them, avoid them. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "Because I tell you the truth." How do we battle for truth? Just speak the truth of the Word of God. Be prepared to teach the truth of the Word of God. We live in a day in which Christianity is just so lethargic and pathetic. Pathetic Christianity. Where people just won't go places because, oh, it might offend. Brethren, we need to preach the whole counsel of God. We are a Bible-believing church. I hope you've worked that out. And we're not moving. This is where we stand. We're not going anywhere. By the grace of God. And brethren, we need to be bold enough and humble enough to proclaim the truth. And the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, "Keep that which is committed unto your trust. Don't forsake the truth." Oh, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, "Keep that which is committed to thy trust." Keep it. Hold on to it. Why did the Apostle Paul say that to Timothy? Because it's possible to stray from the truth of the Word of God. It's possible. "Oh, the pastor will never be me." Don't say that. You might be the next one. I might be the next one. And Paul said to a pastor, "Keep. Stick with it. Stick to doctrine. Don't belittle doctrine. Love the Bible. Stick to truth." Our children need that type of a heritage.
Our children do not need for this church in 15, 20 years to become a neo-evangelical church. What's a neo-evangelical church? Well, it's a church that doesn't unashamedly preach against sin. A church that's just casual. A church that doesn't use the King James Bible. That's a neo-evangelical church. A church that focuses more on drum kits than the Word of God. That's a neo-evangelical church. We're an independent, fundamental Baptist church. We're not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. That's all I know, and that's all I want to know. Because I'm a Bible Christian. I'm a Bible Christian. Will you be a Bible Christian? Please be a Bible Christian. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every night, and you'll realize very quickly that I'm not telling stories. I'm not telling stories. I'm not playing games with you. Let's stand for truth. And let's be prepared to preach against error. Because it needs a good kick, amen? Amen. Let's stand.